Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 5, text 28.
I was gentle in behavior. All my sins were eradicated in your service. In my heart, I was sure thank you. I had suddenly given the sense that I was quickly falling into the report. These are the necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who can expect to elevate the position of your honor and vote for the voters. Such a candidate must always seek the association of the voters. One should not be misled by a similar behavior. He himself must be plain and gentle to receive instruction in the way. Dear devotees, completely freeing the soul, and you, is a completely freeing the soul in the personality of God. He knows the personality of God as the supreme proprietor of all others and all others in his community. And by the association of the devotees only, one can get rid of all sins accumulated by the name of the association. The neophyte devotee is faithfully serving the devotee, and he should be very much obedient to strictly following instructions. These are the signs of the devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing relationship.
I was very much attached to those sages. I was gentle in my behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. Now Rumuni is here continuing his autobiography, and you may note as you study these verses how carefully and patiently he's explaining his story of his own self-realization. He's not rushing. He's very mercifully taking us through all the different steps and facets of his spiritual cultivation, very lovingly and mercifully explaining how he transcended the modes of nature and attained or revived his original position as servant of Krishna. Such love with feeling these verses. He doesn't rush it. Just verse after verse, very munificently and delicately explaining how the process of Krishna consciousness is not harsh, it's not repressive, it is the wonderful reawakening of what we really are, Krishna's eternal servant. So you'll get that sense of love and mercy, the real flow, as you read these verses. They have their flow. People today talk about going with the flow. But their flow that they go with, it's true they're going with the flow, but the flow is passion and ignorance. And Narada Muni's verses are describing here that by getting a taste for hearing about Krishna, he could realize that it was only in his ignorance that he had accepted the flow of identification with the body and mind. And by hearing from the great souls their talks about the personality of Godhead, gradually Narada Muni could feel himself becoming rescued from the flow of the modes of passion and ignorance. And gradually he could feel himself being situated in another flow, the flow of the Lord's internal potency, the devotional energy. So he says, I was very much attached to those sages. Yes, Lord Kapil Dev is described in the third canto, chapter 25, that there are two kinds of attachment. Attachment to the illusory energy and attachment to the teachers of Krishna consciousness, the devotional sons. Attachment to the illusory energy brings about your ruination. But that same attachment, when applied to the devotees of Krishna, that same attachment brings about freedom from the flow of passion and ignorance. and also the flow, freedom from the flow of goodness. Of course, you don't see the material mode of goodness that much in this world, and even the mode of passion is fast fading, and ignorance is predominating. So, Narada Muni is praiseworthy, because he says, I was very much attached to those sages. Of course, the modern fools will criticize, you are attached to a spiritual teacher. You have accepted spiritual authority. As if such persons are not attached to anyone or anything. They're all under the grip of somebody. If it's not some friend or temporary lust partner or family, then it's their own God. The classic example that Prabhupada would give, just like I was walking around in the park this morning chanting to get some fresh air, and I could see people very attached to the dogs and rendering humble service. Well, they didn't think of themselves that way. They were the servants of their dogs. Classic point brought out by Prabhupada. Always giving insight how these people are attached, how they're rendering service, but they don't see it in that way. So many people come to the law and they think they're so free and they're just going with the flow freely. But actually they're bound up by the flow. This is the point. We must be able to point out to them, you're not simply going with the flow, you're bound up by it also. Guna means rope as well as quality. So they are bound by passion ignorance and being dragged along. Just like you explained the example of the Hooper Falls. So, Narada Muni has cut that flow of passion ignorance, cut the ropes of bondage, by becoming attached to the great sages. Now he describes his behavior in reference to those sages, giving you a very glaring hint how it was that he achieved his great position. He says, I was gentle in behavior. The Sanskrit says, prasritasya, obediently. In other words, he didn't offer resistance. It's very easy to teach someone who's gentle. And that gentleness on behalf of the student is very encouraging to the teacher. That's true in the material sense, when you're trying to learn something material. And it's also true in the spiritual sense. The teacher becomes encouraged by the obedience and gentleness of the student. Narada Muni goes on to describe, all my sins were eradicated in their service. Yes, devotional service is extraordinarily important and supermost in importance because it does two things, both positive and negative. The negative is that it eradicates your sins. The positive is that it reestablishes you in your original position, rendering loving service to Krishna. Both the positive and negative thing are there. This is what impersonalists have a hard time understanding. How it is simply by devotional service one achieves the highest perfection. There are other spiritual teachings that will point out the illusoriness of material nature. But once you realize the falsity of material nature in that it's temporary and not your real atmosphere, what do you do next? So Narada Muni's instructions are capable of both rescuing you from the negative and reestablishing your contact with the positive. All my sins were eradicated in their service. We have to realize we do have sins. Whether you want to use the word sin or karmic reaction, these things are going on, whether you believe in it or not. Every action has a reaction. And a devotee is one who regrets his past sinful activity and is eager to purify himself so that he can better render service to Krishna. And also a devotee is one who is careful not to engage in sinful activity anew, because by doing so, that devotee puts a burden on his spiritual master. So a devotee has regret. Oh, I have done so many atrocious things. How ignorant I was. What a fool I was. Oh. But the devotee doesn't just wallow in lamentation. No, that shame becomes motivation to very solidly engage in Krishna's service. And while actively engaging in Krishna's service, naturally the devotee is careful not to put himself or herself in situations in which new sins might arise. Prabhupada always said that our problem is we have no healthy fear of Maya. Of course, these days, the word fear is looked down on. Dogma is looked down on. That word, dogma, is a foul word. And fear is also a foul word, as well as sin. All these things are the chains of human beings which have been perpetuated by organized religion, which has ruined everybody's natural happiness and ruined their chance to be enlightened beings. Anyway, we cannot speak for all the activities of organized religion and their institutions. But we can say that there's nothing wrong in fearing sinful reaction. That fear is a good motivation, a good deterrent not to engage in sinful activity. Fear the results. Of course, better than that is, I don't want to commit sinful activity because it's not Krishna conscious. It doesn't give pleasure to Krishna. I'm simply trying to give pleasure to Krishna. Whatever doesn't give pleasure to Krishna, I don't want to do it. That is the best understanding. Love, not fear. But in order to get to the love platform, most of the time it's necessary to first have a healthy fear. So Prabhupada humbly presented himself as the prime example. What is the difference between me and my disciples? I'm always praying to Krishna that I don't fall down. Implying that his disciples, they were a bit casual, perhaps. Not understanding the pitfalls of Maya, the treachery of Maya. That's a good point. The treachery of Maya. Maya is not just some stable, stagnant energy. It's very active, dynamic energy. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, the two potencies of Maya. The covering potency, by which Maya covers your intelligence. And the throwing potency, by which Maya hurls you deeper into her clutches. So a devotee, out of love for Krishna, and love for the spiritual master, the devotee is always careful about the circumstances that he or she is in. Knowing initial energy can do the impossible. In fact, as soon as we think ourselves quite confident, an expert, that shows our great weakness, our glaring weakness. Just like the Titanic, that ship. We don't want to have the same mood as those who sailed on the Titanic. This ship is unsinkable. It's the safest ship that was ever constructed in human history. Everybody knows the story. And on its main voyage, down it went. The safest ship in human history. On its maiden voyage, went to the bottom of the ocean. So we don't want to have that attitude in regards to the ocean energy. We want to know that our position is precarious all the time. We're like little children always holding on to Krishna. Our strength is in holding on to Krishna. Not that we are the big ones, we are the complete holes, we are the expert ones, the erudite ones. No, our strength is in holding on to Krishna. But on our own, we are so weak. The more you become advanced in Krishna consciousness, the more you'll be able to just, everywhere you walk or drive, or wherever you talk to, you'll be able to see the potency of Maya and how precarious our situation is. When looked at from the viewpoint of our own strength, it's indeed very precarious. especially these days in Kali Yuga, the atmosphere is surcharged with passion. Everybody is simply 100% dedicated to lusty interactions. If not immediately, then gradually. That is behind all social interactions. Sooner or later, the question always pops up. When will we consider prosecuting this relationship or this acquaintance in a fruitful way, whether it's temporary for one night or for a few months? But sooner or later, that possibility pops up in the mind. Even if the actual event doesn't take place, the possibility pops up in everyone's mind. And you can actually, as you're going about your duties here and there in the city and towns, you can actually see how people measure each other in terms of, oh, a prospective sex partner? Oh, I wonder how you would be like. Oh, no, I don't think you'd be. Maybe. Everyone's mind is trained up that way because there's so much lusty media, television, newspapers, hearing songs on the radio all the time. So they think in that way. Wherever they look, they see that. And everything is measured in terms of that. Might you be a good one? Oh, might you not? For one night, 3 months. Considering you this way or that way. Maybe, not till death do us part, but at least for a weekend, maybe, yeah, possibility. This way, everything is measured in that way. People are probing one another through conversation, testing you to see how, if you got any feelings to the contrary, poking you like they cook some meat from the oven, see if you, quiver a bit. This is the name of the game. So contaminating it is. And we have to realize that. We have to understand the nature of the season that we live in. Just like the rainy season. Narada Muni is describing that thus during two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, he had the opportunity to hear the glories of the Lord from the Bhaktivedanta. So, we have to be mindful of the seasons and their effects. The great souls used the rainy season and the fact they couldn't travel on the roads easily as a chance to sit down together and hear about Krishna. We must be mindful of the atmosphere that is literally raining with lust and greed and anger and envy. We cannot be naive about it. Therefore, we are required to keep a very strong sadhana and to realize how tiny and insignificant we are. As soon as we start thinking, oh, I'm so clever, I'm so ingenious, I'm so competent, that is when we're literally decapitated by the illusion energy right before our eyes. So we don't want to be sorry. We don't want to we don't want to have to repent for any new sinful activities. We must be aware of the trickiness of the illusory energy. Be aware of the atmosphere we're living in. And always cry out to Krishna from within our heart, Krishna, please save me. This material environment is so polluted. Unless I'm acting strictly for your pleasure, how will I survive? So Narada Muni had his sins eradicated in devotional service. Devotional service means according to the pleasure of the one served. He said, in my heart I had strong faith in them, the saints he was hearing from. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. In other words, not just lip service, oh yes, I believe in you, oh yes, I will follow you, but actual immersion of the body and mind in devotional service. No wonder he was purified. That is the way. Now, his service, of course, is for Krishna, but it's coming through disciplic succession. Those who Narada Muni was serving, the great sage is describing in this verse, what is their greatness? That they knew the service is for Krishna, and they are preceptors. In this way, the spiritual teacher remains rightly situated, and the spiritual student becomes rightly situated. The spiritual student remains rightly situated by knowing that And his or her position is to render service to the spiritual master. The spiritual master remains rightly situated by knowing that that service is meant for Krishna and the predecessors. In this way, everybody remains pure. Here in this verse, we read about pure devotee. What is a pure devotee? That you'll understand by reading Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, a great warrior. Externally, he wasn't acting like a sadhu. Yet, the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to display Arjuna as a pure devotee, because Arjuna agreed to satisfy Krishna according to the way Krishna wanted to be satisfied. Even on a battlefield, amidst so much killing and chariots and horses and weapons, Arjuna displayed pure devotional service. Now, of course, in the beginning, Arjuna was thinking, it's not in my sense interest to fight. It's not in my own personal interest. But later, upon being convinced by Krishna, Arjuna accepted that, yes, never mind my own concepts, never mind my own sense pleasure, this battle is in Krishna's interest. Therefore, I will do it. And he told Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, my illusion is now gone. I'll do what you say. So, that is what is meant by pure devotee. One whose only business is simply to always look for Krishna's pleasure and try to satisfy Krishna's desires. That is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, pure devotional service. That's why it's such a heavy book. I mean, whenever you return, I think Monday night return, the people who came for Monday night Bhagavad Gita workshop, that, because they're mostly devotees here that night. Whenever you fall into Maya as a devotee and start to fall away from Krishna consciousness, the first thing you do is stop reading Bhagavad Gita. Because it is such an uncompromising book that you just got to put it on yourself and worship it, but not read it, because its stance is so fixed. Everything for Krishna, even war for Krishna, even killing for Krishna, that is Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is displaying how to be a pure devotee. Simply work to satisfy Krishna's senses according to Krishna's desires. Externally, Arjuna was not acting like a sadhu. He did not have the decor of a sadhu. But he displayed what is real sadhu, besides meaning saintly person. Sadhu also means pure. He was demonstrating what is real sadhu. One who simply focuses on Krishna's pleasure. In the association of those who are simply focusing on Krishna's pleasure, it is certain that one will also develop that art, culture, and science of how to satisfy Krishna. So we can derive great comfort and inspiration by studying Narada's words. It's a very personal account. I was like this, and then I did that, and then this happened, and then that happened. This is not theory. This is the actual personal presentation. So why do people say this nonsense that, oh, you follow the Hare Krishna truth, but I follow the personal truth? Krishna is personal. Hare is personal. Narada Muni's account is personal. How is it that you see something impersonal? How is that? In other words, whatever you want to do, that's personal. And whatever you don't want to do, that's impersonal. That is what you're really saying. You don't want to satisfy Krishna, so that's impersonal. You do want to satisfy yourself and your own concepts, so that is personal. This is what they're actually saying. Narada Muni is presenting the real flow. Yes, we go with the flow, but not the flow of passion and ignorance. And ultimately, not even the flow of goodness. Although, the scriptures also say that bhakti yoga, devotional service, brings you beyond the grip of passion and ignorance to the mode of goodness, and then beyond the mode of nature completely to pure goodness, which is the sattva. So we're not interested in the flow of passionate images. We have a disagreement with materialists. What flow we're going to go with? Oh, I guess we'll all go with the flow, but there's different flows. We're interested in a different waterfall. We have our own waterfall. Waterfall of ever-flowing waterfall of Krishna's glories and Krishna's service. They have another waterfall of passionate ignorance, lust, greed, illusion, envy. So you take your pick, which falls you want to go over. I look at the result. In the beginning of the purport, we find the sentence, these are the necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of pure, unadulterated devotee. So we should study Narada Muni in that way. This is not theoretical. These are not moral platitudes. This is very scientific. You should emulate Narada Muni's description here. Try to be like that. You should never think we have outsmarted Maya. You should know that without the protection of my spiritual master and Krishna, how can I make it? Just see how polluted this world is. Unfortunately, we must say that the ultimate motivation for everybody being nice in the mature world is simply for sense gratification. That is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, anyone who does not surrender to me is a mudha, illusion, namam dushkutino mudha, bhajante naradama, lowest among mankind. Maya, for example, yeah, knowledge stolen. Heavy words. And you say, but it's not like that. People are, they're nice, they're friendly. But what is the purpose of it all? How to be the enjoyer? Which is wrong. You see, we are pointing out the root of the whole problem. Are you the enjoyer or are you not? As soon as you think and act as if you are the enjoyer, that is the cause of your illusion. That's why sometimes people, they love devotees very much, or sometimes they feel very, very put off by devotees. They feel very, very uneasy because of this whole thing about who's the enjoyer. Some people can sense that you're not acting as if you're the enjoyer, and that really freaks them. They feel very unsettled and by that and very shocked. Others, your association becomes like a balm to them because they're tired of pretending they're the enjoyer. So they feel very soothed in your association. But others say, you're not acting like you're the enjoyer. This is criminal. Should be burned at the stake. This conflict has been there since time immemorial. So we should derive great comfort and wisdom from Narada Muni's presentation. Then you'll see the transcendental system in action. Then you'll see your spiritual master and Krishna together, because the service is for Krishna. But it's coming in a certain way, and it's going in a certain way, meaning the chance to serve Krishna is coming through the service succession, and the service that you render is going to Krishna through the service succession. How to be a pure devotee? Simply always learn to look for Krishna's pleasure, just like Arjuna did in Bhagavad Gita. It's amazing how many of our devotees have forgotten that Bhagavad Gita is a display of pure devotional service. Arjuna is showing you how to be a pure devotee. Even our own devotees get a little bewildered by the action circumstances of Bhagavad Gita. They forget. Krishna convinces Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita how to be a pure devotee in the middle of a battlefield. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is such a wonderful book. It applies to us all. Prabhupada would always say that. Arjuna, where are his external symptoms as a sadhu? He was a kshatriya, a warrior. He was a family man, grihastha, married. Yet Krishna chose him to speak Bhagavad Gita to. And Krishna chose him to exemplify pure devotional service. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is teaching you how to look for pure devotion. See, learn to see what is Krishna's pleasure. Even though it doesn't seem like there's anything in it for you. You see, that's the whole problem in the first two chapters of the Gita, the first chapter and a half or so. Arjuna is looking at the opposing army, looking at his own army, and saying, Krishna, what's in it for me? This is the basic psychological characteristic of a conditioned soul. Whatever you look at, you say, what's in it for me? Of course, Arjuna was very noble and civilized. He was living in Vedic culture, which cannot be compared to today's degraded so-called culture. Still, Arjuna, according to very high material concepts, in fact, according to the highest material concepts, was thinking, what's in it for me? Therefore, Krishna called him a fool. You're speaking big words from your bottoms, but you're a fool. So chanting the sojusta, from your bottoms, your bottoms, is it. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Krishna, whatever is for you, if you've got something in this situation, then I've got something in that situation. Your desire is my desire. So to get to that point, we require training. How to see Krishna's pleasure. How to keep ourselves fit so we can become more expert in seeing Krishna's pleasure. We require training. Therefore, song is there. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakti Tri Tete Kauriya Aikya Ana Kriya Manavashi. What is my only desire? My only attachment is to the words coming from the mouth of my preceptor. Ana Kriya Manavashi. I don't want anything more. In other words, I don't want anything more than medical instructions about how to revive my love of Krishna. The book we're trying to finish about Jed Bard and Rubina's meeting, we're trying to point out how, when it comes to medical help, people are so surrendered, especially with these alternative doctors and holistic medicine. People are such great awe and reverence and submission. Then they'll say, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakti Chitaya Gauriya, oh doctor, my only desire is just my attachment is for the words, your medical instructions. I don't have to do my life. I don't want anything more, but I know you can cure me. But if they see someone trying to take some kind of spiritual instruction, how to advance the Krishna consciousness, oh, you're under somebody's control. You're not, you're giving up your independence. You're following authority. This way, the foundations of the age are everywhere. We are attached to becoming well in Krishna consciousness. We are attached to giving Krishna pleasure. The bona fide spiritual teacher gives you instructions how to become well so that you can please Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. And Srila Prabhupada has left us such wonderful holistic medical books which cure all the ills of the body, mind, and uncover the soul in them. But how can we go wrong? We're studying Prabhupada's books, distributing his books. The people are getting the best thing. Anyone who is simply dedicated to Krishna's pleasure is a pure devotee. Nevertheless, even on the platform of pure devotion, there are infinite levels. So in Prabhupada's books, everyone gets the most extraordinary chance how to become spiritually educated. So any questions, comments?
Something we hear. we're talking, you know, people who are doing something very extreme or very active for so long sometimes. And he said that while they're active in their passion, they don't have passion. That can be what they're acting for. Your own personal interest, you know, extremely. Right? And for what he's asking, he said, are you acting in
the Yes, this is a good question. Can devotees be said to be acting in the modes of nature? Yes, very loosely you may hear devotees say, oh, he's in the mode of passion, or, oh, she's in the list of that, or, she's attached to the mode of this. And yes, this notion is passed around quite a bit. Prabhupada's answer was very clear whenever he's asked this. He'd say that if the devotee is following the regular principle, chanting appropriately, and engaged in Krishna service, then that description by Lord Kapiladeva in the third canto of devotional service in the various modes of nature does not apply. Directly from Srila Prabhupada's lips. He's also explained that when a devotee is performing devotional service, he's like someone situated in a rowboat that's on the water. The waves may be rocking the boat, but they don't touch the person. So the modes of nature, they're there externally, but they don't touch, they don't sway the devotee. They're there in the environment, no doubt. But they don't capsize the devotee. They don't alter the devotee's path, though they are there. But he emphasized that the devotee has to be following the regular principles of the negative and the positive. And otherwise, as soon as the devotee stops that, then the modes of nature just roar over you. So, yes, it's a good question. I know this is becoming, every once in a while, it becomes very popular, analyzing devotees as if they're in the modes of nature. Now you may say, well, just look at so-and-so. How can you tell me that that devotee is not in the modes of nature? How can you say that? Because in spite of whatever they did in the past, they are connected to Krishna through the simple succession, and therefore, no matter how it looks to you, their service is not in the modes of nature. No matter how it looks to you, that is the conclusion of Srila Prabhupada. Their service is not in the modes of nature. The problem comes when there's not following the regular principles of his problems, and that's when things get rocky. When devotees don't follow regular principles purely, and then they're still also trying to serve Krishna, then you see problems. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've seen that happen even in devotees who are formerly very exalted. What was a smooth little turns very bumpy and rocky, and all of a sudden plunges off into canyons and all sorts of things. And generally, the devotee who's in that situation can't see it. No. Before it was like that, now it's the same thing. No. In other words, we must not underestimate the potency of devotional service, which can do the seemingly impossible. That even though somebody comes to Krishna consciousness with their body in certain modes, if they're following the regular principles, following sadhana and serving Krishna, regardless of how it appears, their service is not in the modes of material nature.